The season of Advent, we're going on a journey. Many of you are reading along in a little book by Adam Hamilton called The Journey, and each week we will focus in on a different character of this Advent story and the journey that they're called to take. And I'll call your attention, for those who can see up into the nave, the blue banner to my right is a symbol for Mary's journey today. And we'll add to those symbols as the weeks go on. Over the summer, I was talking on the phone with my mom, and she was telling me this story about how Dad had had it with some of the bushes on the side of their house, and he just went out and chopped them down to nothing, down to a stump. And Mom was clearly not in favor of the chopping plan, but she understood Dad's point that those were the bushes that the ants were coming from, and, well, they were just getting too big. That was that. The bushes were now stumps, and the disagreement was over. So, one day when Audrey and I made a trip down to Stanton, Virginia to see my parents, I was surprised to see my dad out in the front yard now, wielding a hacksaw and hedge clippers, hacking back the bushes in the front yard. We walked into the house and greeted my mom, and I said something to the effect of, "So he's going after more bushes, huh?" To which Mom's response let us know that we had just walked in on the bushes argument all over again. Mom wanting to keep the bushes because she loves all things green, and Dad thinking that they were becoming a bit of an eyesore. So we tried not to take sides, but laughed along with them on their goofy feud, especially after Dad came into the house creating more stumps. But that's still not the end of the story, because this is an Advent story. So when we went to visit my parents at Thanksgiving, the first thing I noticed as we pulled into their driveway were more bushes. Bushes in the front yard, but not new bushes. No, these were the same old bushes. No longer stumps. No, they had now yielded thick, heavy, new branches in only a couple months. They looked wonderful. It was the prophet Isaiah who said in Isaiah 11:1 that a shoot will come up out of the stump of Jesse, and from its roots a branch will bear fruit. Isaiah spoke of a time when all hope was seemingly lost, when all that was left of their tree, their bush symbolizing the people's hope, was just down to a stump. But even from stumps, life goes on. As my dad said in a text message when I asked if I could share their bushes story, "The shoots keep coming," he said. As we begin this Advent season, it's important to remember the world where the story of Jesus is set. And Adam Hamilton does a good job in his little book of giving you a picture, a snapshot of this world of the text. And you'll see more of it as the weeks go on. But historically, we have to remember that in the time of Jesus, yes, there is this temple for the Jewish people. And yes, there is this Jewish king governing Israel. But more than anything, these were just political plays by the Romans to maintain control over the Jewish people. Let them build a temple. That's no harm to us, the Romans. Let Herod think he's in charge. We all know he's just a Roman pawn and an unstable and useless one at that, more concerned with holding on to his own power and living lavishly than actually caring about his people. So in the time of Jesus, the Jews are in fact an oppressed people in their own land, with the wealthy of them thrown this little bone to keep the peace. And the Jewish people really had gotten used to this kind of life ever since the Babylonians and the Assyrians took control of their land, deported their people, and for only a small period of time since had they really ever had any freedom, any autonomy in their land. And even then, it was nothing like the stories of the great King David or King Solomon. So when Isaiah writes that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and remember, Jesse is the father of King David, he's writing out of this hope that one day his people will have a good and gracious king and the freedom to follow their God fully. But so far, nothing's panned out. As the Roman army walks among them and Romans hoard their wealth. That's the context of the story of the announcement of the birth of Jesus. And when the angel comes to Mary and announces that she will bear a son, Jesus, here she sits in this small town of Nazareth. And some of you who read your book this week know that Nazareth might very well get its name from the Hebrew word netzer, which means a branch or a shoot. A branch or a shoot. The same word that the prophet Isaiah used hundreds of years before. How amazing that God chooses this little town of no significance to be the shoot, to lead the way in a new hope. Nazareth reminds me that so often we look for hope in all the wrong places. Kind of like the old Johnny Lee song from 1980, when you look for love in all the wrong places. We do that too. Philip even said later on in the gospel story, "Does anything good come out of Nazareth?" This place was so insignificant. We wouldn't expect our hope to be found in a peasant girl like Mary. We would have expected a royal person, a person educated in the city of Jerusalem. We would have expected a great politician or a war hero, anything but Nazareth, anything but Mary. I had a friend once in seminary studying to go into the ministry, and this friend of mine was single at the time and wondered often in those days if they would ever find that right person in their life. Only their idea of finding this person was to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and other sports bars to find them. Seminarian. And we'd jokingly say, "You're a seminarian, you're looking for love in all the wrong places." In choosing Nazareth, in choosing Mary, God's reminding us that he sees the world differently. He doesn't see people and places the way we do. He doesn't see power and strength the way we do. God is saying that where we see no power, no strength whatsoever, where there is only weakness, where there is only a stump, that's where hope is. Hope in such as these. And you'd thought we'd figure this out by now. King David, that great king with such a wonderful reputation. Don't you remember how he started off? He was the youngest of his brothers, the forgotten one out in the field, the one too young, too small to wear the royal armor, the one who had a knack for playing the harp more than playing with a sword. And yet God chooses him. Moses was poor with his words. Peter was uneducated, and Paul was the very enemy himself. There's hope in such as these. Mary was young, from a small town of no significance, not yet married, and she carries the hope for the world. And while the world might have believed her as insignificant, she was not. The short excerpt from the Gospel of Luke about her encounter with this angel shows truly how extraordinary she was. Because upon hearing the angel instructing her to not be afraid, Mary sets aside this perplexed feeling, this shock, and she listens to the call upon her life to bear the Son of God. And then seemingly without reservation, we hear this final phrase in the story, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. let it be with me according to your word. You probably know there are denominations who lift Mary very highly, venerate her even. She had quite the task of carrying the Son of God. The early church referred to her in the Greek as Theotokos, the one who gives birth to God. The Catholic Church sometimes refers to her as the Queen of Heaven, and many denominations struggle to argue even beyond the virgin birth that Mary maintains her status of virginity her entire life to somehow protect her purity. Now, I don't think we need to fall into these trappings in order to truly appreciate what was special about Mary. Because what I believe was so special about her was that she was truly ordinary according to the world, but was called by God and chose to heed the call. When you heed the call of God, you might just be the one who gives birth to God. But really, how different is that from any of us? So many of our heroes in scriptures are completely ordinary until they encounter God, and it is the call of God that makes them special. And I believe that there is a call on each and every one of your lives. And though you might feel ordinary, heeding the call will make you extraordinary. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. The question is, how do we respond? Do we wallow in our ordinariness, being just me from Hagerstown, Maryland, of the so-and-so family, pushing maybe that call deeper and deeper into our psyche because we're too afraid to hear it? Well, Advent means the arrival of something, the emergence of some being, some idea. And yes, for us in the Christian tradition, Advent has come to mean the coming of Jesus' existence, his fleshly form in our presence. But Jesus can still come into existence again, anew, today, if we accept that call upon our lives to bear Jesus in our hearts. If we bear him in the deepest parts of our being, we carry him with us to be born anew, born again in our life and the lives of those we encounter. So though you are ordinary, I invite you to accept the call on your life to carry Jesus with you, because God doesn't see you as ordinary. Amen.